What I will go to is a question about what this house looked like in 1989. This was before it was called Spring Street Center, which is something in the last couple of years. So take us through the condition of the house and your efforts in making it the place that it is, and then maybe a little bit about what we need to do with handicapped access. But Marston, please don't be modest, because you're the man, really, the main person who's made this happen. Yes, you've had the support of the committee, and yes, other people have been involved, but really you're the guy. So what did it look like in 1989, and how did it get to the state that it's in 2013?
Well, the Subit House, if I got this right, was bought in 1974. And BOPUC came a few years later, and at that point, the building, when it was purchased, I think needed a lot of repairs. Even back then, the furnace, which has been replaced, the furnace was made clanking noises, and the story I heard is they were afraid the house would be too cold, so they turned the heater on, which didn't work very well, 4 or 5 days before he arrived. And they had decided, since all the meetings would be at Seattle University, which is, the hall is still there, actually, the big hall where they met and BOPUC tested people. It's just right. I mean, it's still that same hall is still there, even today, because I looked at it 2 years ago for a possible national congress to be held there. We didn't book the hall, but it was really weird to walk in there, and several people said they had I wasn't there at the time, but that this is where BOPUC spoke, in this very hall, and it looked exactly the same, except for a few minor changes. So they needed a place for BOPUC to stay, so they renovated the house, and it was very last minute. They added the bathroom on the main floor, and the architect for it was like somebody from Canada. In fact, they said when he arrived, Sebastian said they were literally nailing the last flooring. I mean, they were just finishing up. But they had kept the heat on for 5 days, hoping it would be warm enough for BOPUC. The moment he walked through this front door, he said, "Why, could you please turn down the heat?" they had kind of overdone it, thinking that, being from Indonesia, he'd want it warm. But the ladies' ladihan became his bedroom. So he and I think it was Ibu at the time, slept in the ladies' ladihan. And they were very frightened that, because Bapa had walked in places and said, "This isn't going to work," many times. So they were very worried that he would walk in and say, "Wow, this is not going to work." Because it was pretty weird. Beds in a ladihan hall and everything. But he stayed here. He didn't jump on it. So anyway, that was kind of this main phase of upgrading the building, adding a bathroom, doing some rewiring. Sebastian can tell more of that because he was in charge of it. So that a lot of things were fixed at that point. But then it kind of went into a phase where committees kind of let things ride. There wasn't a lot of money, and things like a new roof needed to be put on. The windows were all, leaking. And so about a big transfer was, we used to have people actually staying upstairs. Every room upstairs was rented. We were the only hall, maybe except for London, that actually rented rooms out to people on an ongoing basis, not just one-nighters, but on an ongoing basis. And that became somewhat problematic, that the renters in some ways seemed to be feeling like they owned the house because they lived here. And some members were saying that they thought it should be changed. Testing was done, and it was clear that the house should only be used at 2-week rentals. And during that period, that committee, and actually it was Elisa Albernoz who did an amazing, she hired people and just clean, they had moved out and everything was just in pretty bad shape, and lots of stuff in the attic. And she did this wonderful thing of just bringing in laborers and just cleaned and cleaned and cleaned, and got a lot of stuff out of here, which was really great. And at that point, also another thing was happening. There, a group, East Side, was growing so much that they decided to have their own group for a while, and that worked for a few years. And that it became evident that this, it was diminishing the whole energy of both groups, weren't really doing well. And then it was decided to join the group back together again, and that's when the name was changed from Subud to Seattle to Subud Greater Seattle. And the word greater was put in there to represent the greater Seattle area, which actually now it goes as far south as Olympia and as far north as Everett. It's actually way beyond even the, what most people would consider greater Seattle. But anyway, so that was a very big change, and a new energy came in the group.
What year was that?
You know, I think it was around 1999, 2000. And then about 2003 or four, there was a real feeling like something needed to happen with the building, because it was really deteriorating. The clanky furnace was clanking even louder. The windows were leaking more. Everything, the roof was beginning to leak. The plumbing was backing up. Everything was just really bad.
And this is the year that I showed up for the first time.
Right. Yeah. There was testing done, like, should we even keep the building? Maybe just sell it, make a bunch of money, and then just rent, you know, because it just felt like there wasn't enough energy. All the estimates were that we'd need about $200,000, easily $150,000 to $200,000 to it. And everybody looked at that number and went, oh, that's impossible. There's no way this group could ever come up with it. Well, we did it. We actually did it. And the reason we did it is I personally, because I've written grants all my life for various organizations, I just pieced together fundraisings. The chairs were raised. We had a chair campaign, and each person bought a chair, and some people bought five chairs, others could afford to buy one chair. And I had a chair chart on the wall, and every time a chair was bought, it was crossed off until we had 100 chairs, because I knew what we needed to have a rental business. And that was the goal, is not only a building for us, but a building that would have enough chairs, tables, all the equipment to do a rental business. Well, since the testing was positive, keep the building. Then we set on this whole venture of, well, if we keep it, we have to fix all of these things. The first thing, the first committee in this process did the windows and the roof. That was, I can't even remember, I think that was Lewis Ohl's committee. And Sebastian Tedro did the windows, and so the windows were replaced. And then the roof was redone, and that was a mess because there were five layers of roofing on there. Instead of taking it off, and they realized there was no underlayment, so it cost even more because there was no underlay. It was just shingles on top of slats. There was no plywood. So that was huge, and better insulation too, just having plywood. So the roof was done, the windows were done, and then we realized the sheathing on the house had to be replaced, and so we hired a contractor. And they replaced a lot of the shingles, because our building has the old cedar shake, which is really nice, actually. But it's a pain. You have to pull them out and replace them. And then it was painted. So the whole outside of the building was painted. So that was phase three, quite expensive. And we kept raising money and borrowing money. We borrowed money from Subud USA. We borrowed money from the Regional House Fund. We got a $20,000 grant from MSF. I wrote that grant and got that. And that was very unusual. They actually granted the $20,000 because we pointed out that it would be very hard for us to pay it back. So they actually broke a rule and gave us a grant of $20,000. And then we had a bequest of $35,000, and then another person gave us $10,000. And it just kept coming and coming. And pretty soon, piece by piece, over a six-year period, from the windows to the roof, then the furnace, got replaced. The old clanky furnace got a high-efficiency furnace. And then NCIA, we formed a house committee, and NCIA and myself and a number of other people just jumped in and with all kinds of work parties, painting parties. We had a French drain party where we dug French drain, and now we have French drain. So all of our so basically the basement, which was always a moldy mess. I mean, it smelled of mold. I don't really remember the old, whether you ever did Latihan there, but it was very smelly. In fact, Evan, who had allergies to mold, just couldn't even hardly do Latihan down there.